You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the latest episode of Locked On Pac-12, where we keep you locked into the Conference of Champions. There's no better place to get all your Pac-12 conference news than the Locked On Pac-12 podcast, hosted by me, Cindy Robinson. Follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we're highlighting a few undrafted free agents out of the Pac-12 and evaluating their chances of making a 53-man roster. I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Luke, from Locked On Wildcats. Thanks for joining me as usual, Michael. How are you doing today?
Not too bad. How are you doing, Cindy?
I'm good. You know, getting through this week. Let's hop into today. You know, I wanted to talk about some of these undrafted free agents to look out for that I would say probably have the best chances of making the teams that they signed to. Starting off with USC receiver, Tyler Vons. He was signed by the Colts, and we know they have Michael Pittman Jr., former USC receiver himself, so they're reunited. And, yeah, tell me a little bit about what you think of Tyler.
Tyler's an interesting guy because he was the number one rated wide receiver coming out, and it seems that, you know, being a Pac-12 athlete yourself, you certainly know the kind of athletes that USC generally gets, and he fits right in there. You know, Cindy, the weird thing about him, though, he never quite materialized at USC the way that people thought. You mentioned Michael Pittman, who had that monster senior year, which propelled him into being the second-round pick. That never happened with Vaughn. Now, when you watched him, he was always a guy that looked like, wow, okay, that looks like your USC 6'3 track star wide receiver type, but it just never materialized. But you could see the potential that he has, because generally guys aren't five-star wide receivers for no reason. Now, I think what you're hoping is you're the Colts, that maybe he got lost in the swamp a little bit. You got so many athletes there. He had some big games. This is the kind of guy, though, that you take a chance on as an undrafted free agent, because, again, he doesn't work. It's no loss to you. And who knows, maybe he hits it and he becomes a starting wide receiver, because he's certainly got that kind of talent there, Cindy.
One thing he pointed out about himself that he feels sets himself apart from other receivers and why, you know, he'll be beneficial to a team is that he adjusts well to offenses. He had to go through four different offenses while at USC, and he may not have been the shining bright star, but he was productive.
Yes. And I think that's well put, because again, when you go there, I think if he had gone to a school like maybe a school that we'll probably talk about a little bit later in the week, in an ASU, somebody like that, he's probably starting from day one, and he doesn't necessarily have the kind of competition that he would at USC. I mean, at USC, no spots are given, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a wide receiver, running back. And I think he fell into that to a certain extent. I'm curious, though, to see what happens now in the NFL, because he's probably going to have a little bit of a desperation level, because, heck, when you're rated like that, you expect, I'm going to be making millions of dollars. That hasn't come to fruition to this point. But when you look at him, he's big, he's fast, he checks off all the boxes. And I think you're hoping, if you're an Indianapolis Colts fan, that, all right, maybe we get a rebirth of Carson Wentz here in Indianapolis. And, oh, by the way, maybe Tyler Vaughn is a big reason why that is the rebirth. This is the type of guy that you take as an undrafted free agent and you feel really good about. And just looking at the teams that were interested in him, it was basically across the board. He could have signed with any team he wanted. So you know that there's a lot of people out there with a better eye for talent than me that are thinking to themselves, man, we got something here. So it'll be fascinating to see how he works out, because he's got that potential.
Yeah, and at the very minimum, he can add depth to that wide receiver room. They have T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman Jr. I'm missing a name from Ohio State.
I'm drawing a blank as well.
I hate when I do that. Like, I've been doing that a lot lately. I need to get better. Sure. But either way, you know, they do have some talent there and some veteran presence that, you know, it would be great for him to learn behind. So if anything, least I would say is practice squad. And then, yeah, at the minimum.
Right, for sure. And that's what you're looking for, too. You want a guy that has the upside to make your roster day one, which he certainly does. But worst case scenario, like you said, you want a practice squad type guy. And it's not like you're bringing in this guy who is physically, you're like, I don't know that he's going to be able to cut it. I mean, he cuts everything down the way that you want your prototypical wide receiver to look. He's a little on the slight side, but we've seen a lot of slight wide receivers who have really been able to make an impact. And when you come in with his kind of speed as well and size, he's a guy that, when I looked at all the undrafted free agents from the Pac-12, he's the one that caught my eye, thinking to myself, yeah, he could make it. And not only could he make it, Cindy, he could do some damage. He's going to be a fascinating guy to follow here as the, you know, as you get into the off season and everything that's going to go into it.
Definitely can't wait to see what he does. And honestly, I hope he makes the team, because that's obviously a boost for Pac-12, having more talent in the NFL, and just, you know, always wishing the best for these kids.
And when in doubt, it's if you get a guy who's semi-productive at USC, that's always not necessarily the worst thing in the world, because it also probably means that, you know what, he was still able to go against five-star type kids across the board, and he was still able to get himself on the field. And keep in mind, USC's not going to play somebody just because of your star ranking, because, oh yeah, by the way, we've got eight other people just like you. So like you said, he was probably a little bit under – he didn't live up to the hype, but like you said, he was still productive. It's not like you look at it and say, man, this guy got for 100 yards each season. He has the ability, and that's what you're looking for right there.
100%. Okay, so up next, we're going to discuss USC cornerback Elijah Griffin. But before we get to that, I have to tell you guys about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The best part is that they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, and it's delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, the prices. They're always reliable and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, moving on to another USC player who was signed by the Bills as an undrafted free agent, Elijah Griffin, son of rap legend, Warren G. Long Beach, LA rap legend Warren G. That's his son. So, you know, Snoop and Dr. Dre is his uncle by proxy.
Right.
But besides that, he was, I would say, a somewhat productive corner at USC. And so now it'll be interesting to see if he can make that Bills team, a team that is lacking in that cornerback room for sure, and we'll be looking to add some productivity for sure.
Right. Cindy, I think he's an interesting guy. Again, don't want to sound like a broken record, but right, another kid that was a 4 or 5 star kid out of high school. And like you said, too, he's been around football his whole life. And it is kind of funny how we talked about, we were talking a little bit off air about how Warren G's son, four or five star cornerback, Cordell Brodus, Calvin Brodus, a.k.a. Snoop Dogg's 4-star wide receiver, obviously went down a different route. He's going to be making a lot of money, so don't feel bad for him. You know, Nate Dogg's son back in the day, Nigel Hale, 4-star cornerback that went to Washington, had some issues. But so that whole group of guys has obviously raised their kids around football the entire time, which I'm always a big fan of, especially when you come from that kind of background.
Right.
He's an interesting case, though, because most people thought he was going to utilize the year to come back.
Right.
And honestly, probably, well, who am I to say who should and who shouldn't? Because again, financially, he's taken care of. He's not going to be. So if he's ready to move on, that's certainly the right move for him. he never quite lived up to the hype coming out of high school. Again, good. But when you look at his numbers, not a lot of interceptions, not a guy that really stood out the way that I think a lot of people thought that he was going to stick out, especially when he signed with such fanfare going to SC. Yeah. But you made a point too. He's got a spot there in Buffalo that he can absolutely latch on to. Buffalo's been really good with undrafted free agents. I mean, you look at it, Levi Wallace is a Tucson kid, and he's kind of a he's a fun story because he wasn't offered by the University of Arizona. Oh, but by the way, Alabama views you as good enough to play.
Which is wild, wild. Right. Arizona missed out a big time. Like, right. How does Alabama come through and recruit a local kid and you had first dibs, essentially?
Exactly. One of these things not like the other. Alabama, Arizona's on a 12-game losing streak right now, and I'm not even kidding. I mean, how bad they've been. And you've got Alabama that, well, Alabama speaks for itself. So the Bills have shown that they can mine some of these diamonds in the rough right here. And Griffin, again, a little bit like we talked about with Tyler Vaughn, Cindy, is the kind of guy that you say to yourself, he's certainly got the ability. You're not going to be bringing in a guy that, you know, looks like Mike Luke and saying, oh, well, hopefully he can make it out there. I mean, he's got that, and he's not going to be starstruck. Because like you talked about too, this is a guy that's been around fame his entire life, and he's going to walk in there, and he's not just going to be Warren G's son. He's going to be a guy that was a high-level high school recruit, didn't quite live up to the billing at USC, but it's not like anybody looked at it and said, what's he doing out there?
Right, so, right.
This is the kind of pick, again, these are the kind of picks that you make as undrafted free agents, and you feel pretty good about him if you're a team like the Buffalo Bills that's looking to build off a really nice season. This is a guy, just like Tyler Vaughn, that I could see sticking, and I think he probably will stick.
I think a plus for him, and some people might see it as a negative, but a plus for him is, like, he's not afraid, right? He's not afraid to go up against any receiver. He's coming with the grit, and I think that's going to translate into his performance as far as, you know, through the training camps and stuff. Just knowing that he has to actually produce and showcase the skills that he needs to make the team. I don't think he's afraid, and that's one of the biggest issues that, you know, especially going in as undrafted free agent, that you don't want to have.
You look at it, he checks off a lot of boxes. Again, he's 6 foot, 6 foot one, he's a well-built kid, ran the 4.5 40. You know, you worry, I guess, maybe a little bit about the instincts just because there wasn't a lot of ball hawking ability. You know, we talked last week about, you know, a guy like Javon Holland out of Oregon that, you know, just was all over the place. Griffin doesn't have that kind of stat line, but he's still a guy that, I mean, you look at him and he looks like an NFL player. And that's, I think, a big thing when you're looking at one of these guys. Can I envision you sticking on this roster, Cindy? And at least from my perspective, I can certainly see him sticking on the roster, whether that's in a nickel, special teams role. He's got the size that you could maybe flirt with him at safety a little bit. There's a lot of different avenues that you could take him if, you know, he's shown the ability to be able to play at that level, which I think he will.
And I always say the benefit of being an undrafted free agent, like, you get to choose where you're going, essentially, because a lot of times you'll have multiple teams calling you. It's not just one that wants you, for the most part. If you were a productive kid in college, they're looking at you. So you're going to get a few different calls, and you kind of get to choose which is going to be the best fit for you, the fit that's going to be most likely an opportunity for you to make that team. And I definitely think the Bills was probably the best decision for him.
Yeah, and again, it's nice having the kind of family background structure that he has because, like you just said, you're able to choose your team. So, I mean, he and his people looked and they're like, you know, this is where we think you have the best chance of fitting. Because at the end of the day, if you're an NFL player and you're an undrafted free agent, you've got to do you. You can't be about somebody else. You've got to do what the best situation is for you. And I think they looked around and they said, this is the place where we could probably see you sticking. And if he's just got the look of a guy that will bring some versatility back there in maybe a backup role, a special teams. I like it. Like I said, you know, there's certain guys that we looked at and we talked a little bit last week about some guys that I don't know that I necessarily see sticking. This is a guy that I could see sticking for sure.
I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. So if you're willing to make a bet on that?
BetOnline.ag.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. You might want to head there and put a bet in, because I'm thinking we have the right odds on our side with this one.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm feeling good about our chances of him making the roster for sure.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, and that includes MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. Teams are prepping for their runs to the playoffs, and you do not want to miss out. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts, so don't sleep, guys. Promo code is locked on. All right, so moving on, I'll say moving up towards the Oregon area, Oregon State cornerback Isaiah Dunn, undrafted free agent, signed by the Jets. Interesting case there, because I think the most exciting part about his signing was that he got paid a huge salary for an undrafted free agent. Highest paid salary, I think, in NFL history for an undrafted free agent. $160K guaranteed salary, $25K signing bonus. And usually, for those who don't know, the undrafted free agent signing bonuses usually range from like 5 to 10K, like for a good person.
Right,
so
right.
This is huge. He might as well have got drafted at the salary he got.
I think you hit the nail on the head. When you talk about a guy like that, that gets that kind of money, and it's not like we can talk a lot about those kind of guys because, like you just said, this is the highest financial undrafted free agent signing. It shows you two things. It shows you that he had a lot of suitors, because this was basically a bidding war, which is kind of crazy to think about, an undrafted free agent. But this is also the case, too, where I think sometimes people in the front offices probably just know a little bit more than me. Because when I look at the breakdown, when I look at him, this is not the guy that was uber productive. We're going to get to one of his teammates here in a second. But the fact, though, that he's looked at in the 160K range, they expect him to stick. And not only do they expect him to stick, Cindy, they expect him to play. And I think they're looking and they're probably thinking, well, he's got a little bit of versatility. But my question that I keep going back to is, how is he not picked? And that's, I think, kind of the rub there. But like you said, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You could say, yeah, Mike or Cindy, he wasn't picked, but oh, by the way, they viewed him worthy of a $160,000 bonus right there. So you certainly have to imagine, out of all the guys that we're talking about, if there was one guy that you would say, okay, he's going to stick, that would be him. But it's just weird, though, because you don't see the productivity that some of these other guys had. That's the rub that I've had a hard time getting around right here.
No, I agree. I think it was interesting to see that he had no interceptions in his college career. And one thing I'll say this is, in that position, picks aren't everything, right? It's really not. There's so much more to that position, being able to cover your man, being able to work well in zone, there's so much. But right. To go, I want to say he did the 4 years, right? I need to double check here. To go 4 years with no interception, I don't know. It's a little tricky, because at that point you wonder, right, what is it? What is the issue? Like, is that something that is going to be an issue moving forward? Because it may not be everything, but it is a part of that position. And so that is probably the reason why he didn't go drafted, because there's some questions there about, like you said, his productivity. But like you said, somebody in that Jet scouting room saw something in him and see what he can bring to that team. And maybe he's going to fit that scheme perfectly or whatever they want to do. And they feel like they can develop him in that area. Again, interceptions aren't everything, but they're something.
Yeah, I think what they're looking at is that he's a guy that he was a wide receiver in high school. He was like this. He was a track guy. So, I mean, there's stuff to work with there. He's pretty good in run support. I mean, he had over 120 tackles. He's a guy that they used as a blitzer from time to time. Maybe they plan on bulking him and moving him around. You know, I would certainly imagine that he's going to probably be a guy that they kind of use in a hybrid position right there. But yeah, like you said, that's the one thing I just can't get around, the lack of just ball hawk instincts right there. Because again, when you don't have a pick, and it's not like you've got 37 pass breakups and for whatever reason you just couldn't get that one interception. That really wasn't the case. But he's another guy. He certainly looks the part. And when you watch him, he's big, he's fast. And if he doesn't stay on this roster, if we're not talking about him on opening day as being on the roster, then things didn't go to plan, because you just don't pay somebody that kind of money without not only seeing him staying on the roster, but being an impactful type player.
100%. You did mention that he ran track, and I did see his coach. He's from Oakland, California, Antioch area. The funny part is his coach said he was a state track runner type of guy. And if you don't know how California state track meet, it's the one of the hardest meets to get to. There's so many rounds to get there. There's so much competition. So that is saying a lot about his speed. And obviously in that position, that's great to bring. So
you've got to fly just to be able to get there.
Right, right. Okay, well, moving on to his teammate who also was signed by the Jets. I'm going to let you say his name.
I got you. Hamilcar Rashid Jr.
There we go. Hamilcar Rashid Jr.
Great name.
I've been on this kick of not butchering names, so if I really don't know, I'm letting my co-host say it.
No, I got you.
But yeah, he's another one signed by the Jets, looking to make that team not – as high of a salary, I'm sure. Originally from Arizona, so a guy you know quite a lot about.
Yeah, he's a fantastic football player. Out of all the guys that we just talked about here, Cindy, he's the best pure football player. This is a guy that 2 years ago had over 22 tackles for loss, 12 sacks. And the only problem with him, and this is, again, all these guys at this level, they're always going to come with, you know, a little bit – wart's too strong of a word. I don't really mean it like that. But a little bit of a hesitancy is that he's a smaller guy for a pass rusher. This is a guy that is never going to be able to bulk and be 265, 270 pounds. That's just not the kind of body type that he has. He came from a big-time high school in Chandler, Arizona. He was uber productive at Oregon State. I think what his role in the NFL is, you're looking at him to be just – the explicit passer, because he's not going to probably be great in a run support type option. He's going to be a third down specialist. He is maybe a special teams guy, but I'm a big fan of productivity. And we just talked about some of the other players, and you're like, you just kind of wonder where exactly was the productivity. With Rashid, you can't really question what exactly the problem is with him from that aspect, because he's certainly a guy that, you know, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. This was a guy who was probably the best defensive player in the Pac-12 just a year ago. The COVID year was kind of weird. I don't really hold numbers against people that weren't, you know, in a six-game season where you really don't know what you're playing. But this is a guy that's uber productive. And if you were to look at his stat line and his impact on the field, this is a guy that brings first-round production if – only an undrafted grade. And again, that's the kind of stuff you're going for when you're looking for an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, 100%. That's a steal. First round production, and you get in it at an undrafted price, like a steal. And I mean, on one end, you feel a little slighted not getting drafted. But again, you get to choose where you go, best fit for you. And you're able to prove yourself and earn that. You can still make that money. It's not, you know, sure, the end of the world. It's one of those, you still get that opportunity to prove that you belong in this league and that you can produce in this league.
And again, he's a player too, that you look at it. And again, you'd always know you're talking football players when you're talking about a guy who's 6'3", 240 pounds. And you're like, a little undersized, but that's going to be his role. But when you look at it, and again, being an ex-D1 athlete yourself, you know this, there's certain people that just have body types and body frames that you can get stronger. I always tell people this about Kevin Durant. people look at Kevin Durant and they're like, oh, he's skinny, he's weak. Kevin Durant's not weak. He just doesn't look, he just doesn't have the body type to be able to put on the kind of weight that some other guys have. But I guarantee you, nobody's saying, man, I can't wait to play Kevin Durant so I can just bully him around the basket.
Right. That's not happening. That's not happening.
And that's kind of the same way here when it comes to Rashid, is that he's a guy that just doesn't quite, he's never going to be the big, broad Julius Peppers bulk type guy.
Right.
But I'm sorry, if you're 240 pounds and you can get after the passer, or the passer, I'm going to be okay with you, and I think he's going to be able to find a role, especially for their new head coach that they got going there.
100%. I agree. Honestly, physicality matters in that position, yes, but I think what sets people apart in that position is the explosiveness and speed. So having that, you know, again, you may not, like you said, may not bulk up like a Julius Peppers, but you'll put on some weight within that program, I'm sure, and it'll make all the difference along with your speed and explosiveness.
Here's the thing, and again, this is kind of a weird thing, but let's say you come in benching, let's say you come in at 240 pounds and you're benching, let's say 415, they'll probably have your bench within 2 years up to 500. It might not show, you know, in your shoulders and your arms, etc., but the strength is still being put on there. This is, like I said, this is easily the best kid out of all of them that we've talked about, at least from a production perspective. I like him. I like him a lot. And if you were to ask me about any of these guys, who's the one that would have maybe the most impactful NFL career, I think we're talking about him right now.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. So make sure, you heard it here first, though. So make sure that, you know, you come back to this podcast and be like, Cindy and Michael had it. They knew a few years from now when he's like a Pro Bowl edge rusher, you know.
We're just trying to help you guys out there.
Right. Really, though. Okay. Well, Michael, this was great. Thank you for joining me per usual.
As always.
Yeah, it's been such a great time. We'll be back with you guys on Thursday discussing some previews of some Pac-12 teams about what to expect this season. Until then, make sure you guys check out Locked On Today podcast. You can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. So follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app. Follow the Locked On Wildcats podcast on the Odyssey app. And then you can follow Locked On Pac-12 on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12. And then, Michael, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Iron Mike Luke, or you can find me at Locked On Wildcats.
There you go. Follow those for all your news about the Pac-12 guys. Tomorrow, Brian and I will be discussing some of these Pac-12 coaches that may be on the chopping block if they don't, produce this year. I feel like our word today has been produce and productivity. Like, that is the name of the game today.
That's the name of the game. That's what you're looking for. And if we're looking for it, you know that these NFL teams are.
Exactly. All right. Thanks for listening, and make sure you guys stay locked on Locked On Pac-12.